बात ठीक है हम। ऑलराइट, सो वेलकम एवरीबॉडी। वी विल गो थ्रू द रूटीन ऑफ माइकल एंड शेयरिंग द इंफॉर्मेशन दैट शी नीड्स टू शेयर ऑन हर बिहाफ एज वी स्टार्ट ऑफ दिस मीटिंग। माइकल एंड गो अहेड।
All right. Thank you, Jim. Welcome. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request the roll call vote. City staff, please activate your video when you're speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you ask the question. Public members, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. Thank you, Chair.
All right. And hold on. And Michael, can you also share the agenda?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'll just do a quick roll call, and
Well,
then we
thank
can.
you.
Thank you. Rainey Moore.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Hawkins.
She's here.
Banks. Frost.
Present.
Chen. Kato. And Bynum.
Present.
And Hawkins. Thank you.
Present.
Thank you, Chair. We have quorum.
Okay. And the first item I think on the agenda is public comments.
We will do approval of minutes and then go to public comment. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes? Have everybody had a chance to review those minutes? And if so, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Thank you, Chair. So moved.
And is there a second? Was that Saina?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Saina. So the motion has been made by Saina. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been motioned by Saina, seconded by Dr. Hawkins. Is there any discussion? I'm seeing no hands raised. So all in favor of the approval of the minutes, can you either raise your hand or say yes?
Yes.
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 Anyone opposed? I'm gonna say the minutes are approved. And then with that, would be public comment. I don't believe we have any public comments. Is that correct, Michaelin?
Yes, no public comment.
No public comment. And the next item on our agenda is a nomination update. Michaelin, do you have an update for us?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We do have one nomination that we've received in the last couple of weeks. And we've had one in question around parents nominating their children in the youth category.
Can you share the question?
Yeah, so basically the email was asking, it was a parent that had emailed just asking if they can nominate their child. And I let them know that I would certainly bring it to the commission and ask, but I let them know I don't see that as being an issue, but I said I would defer to the to commission members if there's.
What are folks' thoughts on that?
This is Bynai. I don't really see an issue with a parent nominating their own child. The child would have to get the award on their own merits. I understand there could be maybe some perceived conflict or bias if it's their own child, but we're seeking nominations for those who have the attributes that we're looking for as an honoree. And so I don't think it really matters who the source is.
Anybody else, any other thoughts?
Well, you know, I think it's nice a parent going to nominate their child, but they can't write the recommendation. I have a real problem with that. I mean, this is based on the merits. And of course, I don't have children, but I have young people that I love too, and in the past. But just because you care about someone, you may not necessarily be in the best position. And I think this should be an evaluative kind of review as part of, you know, when we're looking at the criteria. And someone that's within the community, within the school, that can provide a creditable letter recommendation. So, you know, that's my condition. And that's really nice. Why don't they talk to the child's teachers?
Any other thoughts, Carrie? Did you have any thoughts?
You did say Carrie, right?
Yes.
I do. I guess because here's the thing, we're all going to be, you know, if it's our child, pretty much credit, there's going to be a bias anyway. You know what I mean? We're probably going to, there's going to be that bias anyway as a parent. I think with it, there's the criteria aspect of it. We're looking at the rules in place. And I guess it's one of those, okay, you give the information and then you give the information and we vote on it. But did the child not do you know what I mean, what the information says? Do they actually meet though the criteria? So I'm kind of torn, because if something, you know, if somebody writes it, a parent writes it on their child's behalf, it's submitted and we look at it, okay, are they meeting all of the criterias? So
my question is, how do we really determine if the person is has met the criteria based on what the parent has said?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who within the community or in the school or in the community centers that can really vouch for this?
Good point. That's a good point, Dr. Glory. That actually kind of, yeah. So that's why it's good to have these conversations. I can see that. Yeah. If somebody is writing on someone's behalf, who can vouch for them? That's a good question.
Okay. But Dr. Gloria, wouldn't we have that same question for each and every application? Maybe we have a mentor mentee situation where they're really, really close. They've known each other for umpteen years. Is there any difference?
But then maybe we need to go back to the drawing board and see if, instead of just one letter, someone else too. You know, I really have a real issue with that. Then let me nominate somebody, write somebody, you know?
I agree with you, Dr. Gloria. I mean, it doesn't pass the smell test. I figure where there's no law, there's no transgression. There's nothing saying that parents can't nominate their children, but it doesn't pass the smell test. I agree with you, but I'm saying, you know, just based on what we have in front of us, there's really no difference. Now, maybe if we wanted to include a reference list where people had to give us, you know, three professional references, someone that might know the child, that we could reach out to them to get their, you know, thoughts on the child. You know, maybe that's something we can do to kind of balance out the bias. Andre, I'm gonna think.
I have a real problem with that. You know, let the child, if the child is outstanding, Let somebody else see their talents and light. But we can do whatever, you know, I agree with whatever you all want. But those are my opinions, you know.
And
I have a real issue with that.
Joe, I see your hand, and then I'll go to you, Dominic. Joe?
Oh, I didn't put my hand up.
Oh, it looks like it's up. Oh, maybe that's Dominic. Dominic, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I like the conversation that this question has brought to the forefront. And I think it makes sense to do a combination of the two proposals that were just made. So I think it makes sense to, yes, allow a parent to nominate their child. But as Dr. Hawkins was saying, there should be a co-sponsor that's on that application as well. And that co-sponsor would be a community leader, such as a teacher or somebody in a neighborhood center that's familiar with the nominee. Just because, like was said, it doesn't pass the smell test. I think there's going to be this bias that comes to the forefront, some risk of perceptions of bias. So in order for us to kind of sidestep that, it would make sense to have another community leader co-sponsor a nomination from a parent. And it could be something very simple where they just, you know, a letter of agreement, essentially. And if we don't do that for this year, then we should consider it going forward.
I actually like the idea of having them get, if the parent is going to nominate, having them get a second letter or a couple letters from folks who actually know the child outside of the parent, whether it's a counselor, whether it's a coach, or whoever. I think that it should be another letter that accompanies the parent nomination outside of the parent. And I think that maybe next year, when we're exploring the criteria, reviewing the criteria, that should be added if the person is going to be nominated as a close, either family member. Because that can happen to not just the youth, that could also happen with the adults. It could be a close family member, but maybe be right in that criteria that if there is a familial relationship, then maybe that it has to have a reference from another person who is also recommending the child based on what the child has accomplished. And I don't think that should be an easy, I mean, a hard task if the child is really doing what the parent is saying they're doing. I see, Joe, is that your hand?
Yep. No.
Okay, go ahead.
I had more of a question that, in line with the thought there, that I even wonder for any candidate if we might entertain in the future, you know, like the notes, you know, of accepting, you know, like maybe somewhere around two or three, you know, like letters of recommendation to even get more context and have it more than just as we've been discussing, you know, like it may be somebody's community leader that is recommending them, but if anything, you know, one or two additional letters within reason, you know, like a cap maybe on three, but to give us more context and more viewpoints so we can better get a snapshot of who the nominee is and how they've, you know, like really addressed, you know, like some of the things we're looking to evaluate.
I like that recommend. I mean, I like what Joe just said.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be applied, you know, for consistency, regardless of what category, whether you are, we're talking about a youth or we're talking about young leaders, emerging leaders, rather, or community leaders who have been nominated. Because we do want to keep it within the spirit of what the award was initially intended.
What are other folks' thoughts on that, getting recommendations? Dominic, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, I like the idea of additional recommendations. My only concern is that we would add a barrier to getting additional nominations. We create this barrier that would potentially decrease the amount of nominations that we'd be receiving. But I guess we could see what that looks like in this next year and then adjust again. I guess the reason that the suggestion came up for additional letters of support or co-sponsorship was just because of this one parent. And I think that maybe we should just try to focus on that just this year. Do we want to allow a youth to be nominated by a parent? And then going forward, do we allow nominations and then a co-sponsorship? Because I think we should really try to strike a balance between encouraging nominations for that youth category, but also trying to eradicate that perception of bias as well.
And then my question is, do we change it in the midst? I mean, we're in the middle of nominations, right? Nominations are due November 8th. And so do we change it while we're in the course? Or do we let it stand as is for now and then have this discussion later? Is there an opportunity for the parent to get someone else who knows the child? Because realistically, what I'm gonna, if the child is doing what the parent is saying, there should be somebody else who witnessed this child doing whatever it is they're saying, whether it's at a community center, whether it's at the schools. Then who else could write the recommendation on behalf of the kid? Can the parents have that conversation with that person? Carrie.
Yeah, I really think at this point, we need to see this process through as is. Nominations are due next month. I think this should be, we need to go through what we're going through now, revisit this at the end. And one of the things I think, guys, when we have, after the event occurs in January, we need to be able to get back together and discuss. And that's something I don't think we do. We don't have quorum for a long time. And then we need to debrief. You know, we need to debrief first of all. And then we need to talk about the next year. So I think it would be good to, because again, nominations are due now. And we're at the very end of that. I think we need to look. I do have an issue, though, too, guys, with all these extras, coal, this, then all that, and all that. It's hard enough to get youth already. So now we're going to go ahead. All right, we got it. Okay, I talk to the schools. I talk to the community centers. Everybody's claims they're going to do this. They're going to get this out and all this and that, and they don't do it already. So we're going to have extra people with extra documentation or letters and all that. I think it may, be honest, guys, I think it may make it harder. That's my thoughts,
all. And that is my fear, Carrie, is that we are already having a hard time. So then we're putting up additional barriers if we're doing the having references and if it's coming from a parent. And I understand why we want to do that, but we also need to realize that we've been challenged every year to get youth nominations, and this will be an additional that somebody would have to go through to actually get a youth nominated. But so I saw, go ahead, Carrie, finish
I up. Just feel a little too, what may happen also, it may be a barrage of parents just starting to submit these. They may start because of other people. I feel that, this parent did it for that child, this parent did it for that child. Not to knock that you can't, but I think it just may kind of go a little left. And that's my thoughts.
And then I think I saw Joe, and then I'll go to, Dominic and then Sinai.
I don't think Joe has his hand up. I don't know. It might have just been me again.
I don't know why, but his hand, it always looked like it's pointing to Joe. But no matter where Joe moves in my screen, it looks like it's pointing to Joe. But I think that's Dominic.
Yeah.
So Dominic and then Sinai.
I was just thinking maybe we should just allow this parent to nominate their child this year since we don't have a rule against it, but encourage them to strengthen the nomination by getting someone else to support it. Like just a recommendation, not something like we'll still accept the nomination as is if the parent just submits it themselves. And then we revisit criteria for 2025 or 2026 at the start of 2025.
Saina and then Dr. Hawkins. We can't hear you, Saina, if you're talking.
Sorry, I'm just talking away. I was going to say what Dominic just said. I don't want to change anything midstream like Carrie said. I think we're just too close to the end. But I mean, if there's no rule prohibiting it, we really can't, you know, double back and say, well, you have to be this or you have to do this or it has to be this relationship. So I think we should allow the application, encourage, of course, like Dominic had said, but I think we should allow the application because there's nothing saying that we can't. Like there's no rule in place that says parents can't do it.
Dr. Hawkins?
Yes, now when is the deadline?
November 8th.
Well, let us see if we can get some more people. I have a problem.
Which is a week from Friday.
Right. You know, if this is the only person who will be nominated, and she's nominated by her mother, I have a real issue with that. You know, how do I, within my own mind, justify? It's almost like a person would receive the award based on default, not necessarily based on merit. And I know we do have a hard time trying to get nominations for young people. I spoke with someone who's a counselor at Memorial High School. The person is, I don't know what they call them now, but they used to be called minority or diversity coordinators. This person says she's never received the information and that perhaps maybe the information is going to the counselors in Durham. Since I don't know what the infrastructure is, I could not respond to it. I didn't take it upon myself to send her any information, and that's my fault, no matter why I didn't, and I could justify it, but it's not a good reason or excuse. But I just have a problem making it seem like it's a default. If we don't get any other nominations. And also, I would want the person, this young person, whoever he, she may be, to feel or to know that they received the award, if this person is the only one, based on the merits, not because my mama nominated me. I would think you want others to also see your accomplishments and that they can speak about your accomplishments. I would feel embarrassed if people would know that I received the award because I was not only one, that doesn't matter, but my mother is the one that recommended me, nominated me. I don't know. It just doesn't have a good tone to it, to me. And also, I don't think it's in keeping with the intended spirit that I would do, you know, whatever my fellow commission members decide to do. But you can tell I have a bias.
Michaelyn, I saw your hand. Was your hand raised at one point?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to just make sure that we We had the same information as it relates to the nomination close date. If you remember the last, I believe it was the last two meetings, we did approve to extend the close of the nomination to November 15th.
Okay.
Thank you.
Actually, I've forgotten that. I was okay. So November 15th is the actual deadline?
Correct.
So can we, my thing is, can we, the parent has some little bit of a time. Can we encourage the parent to seek out someone else to do the nomination versus the parent putting it in? Like, we don't have a rule against it, but at the same time, we want this to be a process that actually looks like what it's intended to look like. Any parent that we all know, lots of kids and parents can nominate, and family members can nominate their own family folks. But typically, it actually does look better when it comes from community folks in the community who actually are honoring the child for work that they've actually witnessed themselves or experienced themselves. And so can we encourage the parent to seek out somebody else? If this child is doing the work that the parent says is volunteering, can we ask the parent to ask whoever it is that experienced this child stuff to write a recommendation? And it might look better coming from the parent. I mean, to me, it's no different than when we individually ask folks to write recommendations for us. Can the parent go to whoever that is and ask them to write a recommendation on behalf of her child? Joe?
Yeah, I just had a question of operations. Like, I think that was the same as you expressed, Chair, that, is the commission or the city allowed to, reach out and ask for additional references, additional nominate? Like, I'm kind of seeing this metaphorically almost as a college or a job interview, and I just wanted to get like a sort of point of order of clarification, if that's the right phrase, of if the commission is allowed to reach back out to the applicant or to ask for additional references and such.
And typically what I'm going to say is, some people, when they're writing the recommendation, they also include letters from other folks. So I don't think that it would be unusual that this parent, and if the parent was going to nominate, to include some other references, because folks have done that. Multiple folks have done it. We've seen it, even some of the ones that we're going to be looking at from last year have multiple letters from folks in the community that actually also wrote on their behalf in addition to the person that was nominating them. So I don't think that that's an unusual thing, because we see it all the time.
Oh yeah, thank you for the clarification, because I just like to get a mental idea of what all the options are that the commission has available.
Well, I'm just going to say, remember, Carrie, you might remember this, and Dr. Hawkins, remember when Michael Johnson first got nominated, he had like 20 letters or references that accompanied the application? So, and we didn't ask for it, but people, about 20 other people submitted along with the application. I mean, the nomination packet. So I don't think that's unusual that folks submit letters of support, even though we haven't requested it, folks do it all the time.
You know.
Go ahead, Dr. Hawkins.
You know, McCullough, it might be really good if you would respond to the parent and say, it would be really good if you, we encourage you to have someone to nominate your child. Would you do that? You can say it really nicely. If not, I'll say it for you. I know I'd be real nice and diplomatic. And so it's not saying no, but it becomes a teachable moment. Sometimes people don't do things because they might not necessarily know Miss Gloria's protocol, how some things really can be done effectively, and to give other people a chance to really shower your child with praise. So we could do it that way. And then after this year, this cycle, that we would revisit the criteria, and we'll look at the language that we could use, as well as talk about number of letters of recommendation. I remember when Michael Johnson had all of those, it seemed like that somebody was running a popularity contest. In many ways, it was a put off. If you were to be applying, say, for graduate school or medical school, I can talk about medical school, we would hold it against you if you exceeded the number of letters that was required. If you had 10 and we said only 3, guess what? That was held against you. And so I think that what we can do is that we can put a little more, we can revisit this, have some guidelines, look at our guidelines and fine tune them. But for next year, and that would go across the board. And with this young, is it a young lady? It doesn't matter, guy or a female, we could encourage the mother to really get her teacher, a counselor, center director to really highlight and share with the committee their daughter's accomplishments and how they really do reflect some of the characteristics of what a young a Martin Luther King Youth Awardee would have or has. I think that's how we could handle it. You know, don't say no to it, just say encourage you. This will be really good, shining the light on your child. The mother may not realize, I don't care who the mother is, it may not realize this is not really what you should do. Not for your child.
Right. So how do people feel about that approach? Are people okay with us going that route and then reviewing the criteria in January? Or after when we debrief?
I agree.
Yeah, I like the idea. My only concern is that we're adding or treating this particular application differently than we have any other application this cycle. I just want to be careful about not putting an extra layer that is not required of any other candidate. And I think that we can soften it. But if she says, no, I don't have anyone, or no, I don't have the time, I want to get this in now. If she says no, then I think we should just accept the application, evaluate on its merits, and treat it just like any other application, because we don't have any rule against it. And then next cycle, we'll have rules about this.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna put two things on the table around that. And the thing around that for me is with adults, and I'm not saying, most of us know these, many of these adults that are nominated. So most of us, even though it's not in the applicant criteria, we give our opinions because we know the adults. How many of us would know this child and we're not able to just make a decision on any other thing but what the parent wrote? That's my only thing, is because with kids, we don't often know the kids. But when it comes from somebody outside of their home, it means a whole different thing. But with the adult nomination, I can tell you probably the majority of, I ain't gonna say the majority of us, but at least half of us know at least many of these applicants that have come through.
I agree with you, Pierre. I agree with you. I think it does not pass the smell test, but we don't have anything in writing that prohibits this candidacy based on a parent making the nomination. And if we understand that we don't have anything in writing about that, I think that she asked because she knows it doesn't pass the smell test. I think the opposite. I think she asked the question because it is almost common sense. I'll try to be as polite as possible to say, should I be doing this? No, you shouldn't. But we don't have anything that says you shouldn't.
I agree with you on that, because why did she just fill out the application and let us say what we're going to say or do what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Because she knows that it's not okay for her to just do it. Otherwise, just do it, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like she does know that it's not going to pass the smell test, but no, we don't have any criteria that says not to, but typically applicants do come with other references. And so that's why I don't think it would be unusual to ask her for another reference, because many of them do come with it.
Right. And that's why I likened it to a job application as well, like Joe did. And I said maybe just three references, maybe not a letter of recommendation, because that could be a barrier since we're having some trouble with our community partners. But if they have a phone number, email, and we can just get a quick note from them, or that if they want to take the time and write something, you know, maybe that'll eliminate some of that barrier.
You know what? I don't think there's a barrier. The mother knew that there were some issues. Otherwise, she questioned it. Otherwise, she would not have made the inquiry. She knows. She knows that there might be something that is a little out of the ordinary. That's why she inquired about it. And I know me. I will vote against that child if she only had a letter of recommendation from her mother. May I finish? Because it does not give, within the context of me understanding who this young woman is. I would hope that parents...
Well, the other thing I just want to clarify for folks is just because we have one nomination, if that's the nomination, doesn't necessarily mean we have to award that person. If we don't feel like they meet the criteria, even though they were nominated for the award, then we have a right as a committee to not push forward that as a person we want to receive the award.
Right, I understood that. That's why I said we should just accept the nomination and evaluate on the merits. If it doesn't pass muster, then we don't award that award. If we don't have a viable candidate that we feel strongly about, no one's forcing us to give the award. But we could just accept the nomination and sidestep any perceived bias, claims about unfair treatment, mistreatment, that kind of thing. As a committee, we could just sidestep that by allowing the application, if you know, along with the encouragement, because again, we all know that this doesn't pass the smell test. So,
I think that I'm going to say, I think we send the email, like Dr. Hawkins said, encouraging. Not saying you have to, but encouraging her to seek someone else to write the nomination. But if she says no and she want to submit it, she can submit it. But she also needs to. We know that. I'm just gonna say, from my experience reading nominations, that there are strong writers and not so strong writers, and so she's gonna probably really have to go stronger on the writing tip because she's the mother of the child versus somebody in the community who, not saying that they don't have to write great, but for me, my expectations is your child gonna have to be outstanding for us to just take the mom's recommendation on with just the mom. And with the expectation that just because we have one nomination in that category doesn't mean we have to push forward that person if we don't feel that person meets the criteria. And I'm not saying that I don't even know who the parent is. So I'm just saying the kid may very well meet the criteria. But if the kid doesn't, then doesn't mean we have to say, oh, we only got one, so let's just push that one forward. No, we don't have to do that.
And also, I don't want to penalize the child because of the parent. You know, that's the other side of that too, that the child could very well be deserving, but we cannot see all of that, or she may not pass the smell test because it was written by her parent. And it's hard to make a good, at least for me, it would be hard for me to evaluate it fairly. And I never want to do something against a student based on an adult.
Well, we don't want to hold nothing against anyone, but not let alone a child. And so, and the other thing I want to point out is typically when we put out the press release about who the winners are, don't we include quotes from the people that submitted them?
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm just also thinking of that when we put out the press release regarding the some quotes from who nominated the person. What does that look like to the rest of the community?
Ooh, not good. Well, this has been a lively discussion.
But again, we have no criteria that says the mother cannot nominate. So can we send an email with what Dr. Hawkins suggested, is that we encourage, not that you have to, but we encourage, and then see what happens from there. If the mom still says, okay, well, I'm going to nominate my child anyway, there's nothing we can do about that. But I do think that we should have an honest conversation. I don't know who would do that. An honest conversation with the mom about, I don't know, the appearance of that. Well, maybe not. No, let's not go there and do that. Have an honest conversation with the mom about that.
No,
I would say no to that myself.
I agree.
As I'm thinking of it out loud. But we should also be ready if the mom submits it, and let's say the person does meet the criteria. We should be ready with our own message because we know there's going to be somebody from the community that is going to contact us after the press release goes out. Because we've had it before from folks contacting at least me as the president and maybe Michael Lynn too, about their thoughts about us putting information in the press release and who the information came from. We've had that before. So I'm anticipating that if we put out a press release, which we will do, there's going to be I'm anticipating some calls from folks in the community about that.
That's really true. And it may not shine a good light on us.
So we should be ready with our speech or our elevator speech on why that is. And part of it is we should just be honest too with the community that, you know, we've been putting out requests for youth for how many years, and we know that youth are doing great things, but we haven't gotten any, stuff from anybody willing to nominate a youth, and we don't know why that is. And so, Michaelin, are you okay with responding to the person, or would you like me or Dr. Hawkins to do the response?
Thank you, Chad. No, I can put a draft together and I'll make sure to run it past Carrie and Norm just to make sure that I've got the language tidied up, and then we can send it out if that's okay with you all.
Yep, that's okay with me.
All
Anything
right.
else on that before we move on? All right, looks like that is So then the other thing we had on our agenda was the award timeline. Michaelyn, can you share the timeline, or do you have that available?
Sure.
We have till November 15th to get nominations in. Now, so we do have a couple more weeks. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
And so everybody see where we are in the process. So the next one is the 15th is when we close. And then on the 15th, we all will receive nomination packages where we will ask you to write or score the nominees. And then once you, we would like those scores to be in by the 22nd of November. So you all will get them, I believe November 15th, is that a Friday? So that would be a Friday, and we expect you to get to score the applicants by the 22nd. I realize that's not a lot of time, but that should be enough time for you to get that in. Typically, once the scores will go to Michaelyn, and Michaelyn will tally up the scores and put them in a spreadsheet for us. But I want to just remind folks that just because somebody has the highest score does not necessarily mean that that's the person we're going to put forward. Historically, we have not just put people forward based on the scores. We do have the opportunity to have some discussion about the scores, and then as a group, selectively decide who we want to push forward. And it could come down to the fact that the person has the highest scores, but not necessarily. It will be also based upon our discussion as well. So and so I just want to clarify that for folks, because I know sometimes folks say, well, that person got the highest score. But the reason we come together to discuss the thing is so that we, our opinions can be brought to the discussion. And some folks may have information that the rest of us don't. And I know the application doesn't say we include that, but we have historically included outside information if we all know it. And then the other piece of it that I want to remind folks is just because we as a committee make a selection of who the candidates are, the mayor and the county exec can either accept those or not. Historically, they have accepted it, but there could be a time when they don't, depending on who's put forward, because they have a right. They actually make the ultimate decision, because the award is coming from both the city, the mayor, and the county exec, which is why we have both of them doing the presentation on at the event in January, because it's coming from them and their office. And again, they may have information that we don't have. Because you know, they have different a source of information and different, and they're in different spaces than we are to get access to certain information as well. So there is that possibility that they may not accept who we put forward, but they typically have in the past. I'll say they have, but they don't have to. So then we will score, we will have some discussion about the scores, and then we will finalize the recommendation that we as a committee want to put forward those names. And then once we put forward those names, then Carrie typically has a report, Carrie with the county exec, and then I think Norm with the city will have conversations with the mayor about who our selection choices were. And then once the mayor and the county exec approve that, then there will be letters or conversations with the awardees to see if they accept the award and if they will be in attendance at the actual event. once they're at the once we have their acceptance letter, I think a press release is put out there, identifying who the awardees will be, and then we have the event. Carrie, I see your hand, Carrie. Go ahead. Carrie, if you're talking, we can't hear you. I saw somebody. Hello, now we can hear you.
I'm having problems hearing and anything. Something just flashed up. My connection is unstable. So I don't know if anybody can hear me, but just letting you know.
We can hear you, Carrie.
Connection issues.
Okay. So then
everything is breaking up. There's like, I can't hear full sentences from anyone.
Oh, my apologies. Can everyone else hear?
Yes. I mean, I can.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yes. So then once the mayor and things confirm, and then a press release goes out, and then in January, that MLK weekend, we usually will have the program on MLK Day at the Overture Center. And we all, as a committee, if you're able to be in attendance and have that on your date, that would be great. Typically the mayor, there's a full program. Dr. Hawkins can actually talk about that. And so I will pass it over to Dr. Hawkins to say something about that piece.
Well, we're still working on the program, trying to identify a speaker, but let me back up. There's a full weekend of activities we will have this year. Our in-person community dinner. And then we will have an ecumenical service. That would be on a Friday. The community dinner is a free community dinner. It would be good if all of the members of the commission could attend. It would be good for people to know who are members of the commission outside of ourselves. On Sunday afternoon, we will have the ecumenical service. We have not decided on where the venue will be. We've held it at Fountain of Life, Mount Zion, Christ the Solid Rock, along with the Lutheran, Edgewood Lutheran Church, as well as other places. And so I'll keep you posted about that. We are working on the selection of our speaker. We have not finalized that. We have a number of people that we're thinking about. Well, we've narrowed it down to a sizable number. This is the year of the woman. We try to alternate in terms of whether the speaker would be a male or female, and we really try to find people who are available to speak, who really have been very much involved in the civil rights movement, and particularly can reflect on, if they were not a part of, because most of those people are dying out, of the civil rights movement with Dr. King, or can reflect on it based on some of their experiences. We also, at the end of the program, not only is there a speaker, we have people within the community that are part of the program. We have the awardees. That's why it's really important. And we do have a reserved area, if you so choose to sit in that area, for members of the commission. And the awardees are made public. They've given an award by the mayor and county exec. We do have a time limit in terms of how long people are to speak. Sometimes people have exceeded the amount of time. And the reason why we put a cap on the amount of time is because it's not church. We're not having a revival. We really try to be very mindful of people's time, and we encourage people to bring their children or their families, and the next day is a school day. And after the program, there is a reception, and all of the members of the commission are invited to the reception. You have a chance to, and the awardees, you have a chance to interact with the awardees as well as with the keynote speaker. And it's, the reception is not open to the public. It's by invitation. And so all of the commissioners will receive an invitation. We may do something slightly different depending probably what the outcome of the election is, because 20th, I believe, is the day of inauguration. So we may have do something slightly different in terms of really celebrating or acknowledging that it is the inauguration day. Okay. And I'll keep everyone posted about as we move forward with the details of the program.
Thank you, Dr. Hawkins. Any questions for Dr. Hawkins or myself? Joe, is that your hand?
Yep. More of a thought for the next award cycle, and just as we've been discussing, you know, like getting more youth candidates, I just have a thought I wanted to put to the group, that as we decide timelines for the next award cycle, like for illustration, the timeline for this year had the soft nominations opening in May. I'm wondering for youth especially if we may want to see about moving that up so that we can capture the spring semester and get some of the teachers, you know, opportunities to get applications for students in, you know, like during the spring semester, you know, possibly like as early as maybe spring break, or I don't know if we'd want to go any earlier than that.
I think the timeline is something that we can discuss. We've had the timeline just to say, we've had the timelines and multiple times of the year trying to take into consideration what the teachers have to do either at the end of the semester or during the semester. But it's certainly something that can be talked about in January when we're planning for the next year. And I'll say, I'm saying we, but to be honest with you all, I think you all will need to have a conversation about who will be taking the lead, because next year will be my 10 years on the Equal Opportunities Commission. And that is actually the time frame that you have before you have to step off. And so I'm on here based upon the EOC commission. So that is something you all will need to actually also plan for. And so we need to have probably that discussion as well. But certainly the timeline is something that can be reviewed and should be reviewed. The earlier, the better. And like Carrie says, typically right after the event, we always schedule a debrief. And typically we have a hard time right to get quorum for the debrief. So we have not really had a debrief of the different sessions because of the difficulty getting quorum shortly after the event. And so that is something that also will probably need to be taken into consideration as well. Any questions or comments for Dr. Hawkins or myself?
Oh, I forgot to mention, we do have a youth service program, and that is it will be on the official Martin Luther King holiday that Monday, and that is held the latter part, it starts up the latter part of the morning with the late with an early lunch, and it goes into the afternoon. And in the past, the youth had an opportunity to interact with our keynote speaker, and they also are involved in service activities too. And I'm trying to see how we can get some more students involved, like students from the Simpson Broadway group. In fact, I saw some of them Saturday and told them I wanted them to be more involved in Martin Luther King activities. They were at the NAACP Freedom Dinner. So...
any other questions or comments? I'm seeing no hands. So then, does folks have any future agenda topics that they want to discuss? A timeline was one of them. And I'm also going to put the timeline as well as the criteria. Any other future topics folks want to discuss? I'm going to say transition.
Mike,
Chair, it looks like Dr. Hawkins has a question.
Go ahead, Dr. Hawkins.
Yes, I was wondering if Michaelin could share the timeline that you developed with us. I just needed to make sure that I put everything on my calendar in terms of meeting, you know, the deliverables that we're supposed to in a timely fashion, as well as just may stand on course, because we do. And then I would like for us to set, not maybe tonight, but set a date for our debrief so that we could all, well, I'll start with myself, put that on our calendar so that we could have that as a priority, because I know our calendars get really, really tight. I know mine does.
And I believe that the debrief should have been actually on your calendar timeline. But Michaelin, can you send out the calendar for again so folks have it on their thing? But I believe that the calendar year had been shared with everyone in terms of review. I think that's also one of the things you all do in January as well, is to review the calendar dates to make sure that those dates are still working for folks. But Michael, if you are willing, able to share that up through the next few months so folks can have it on their calendar for January and December, I think November and December as well, so folks can have those dates. But again, in January, you guys will be reviewing the timeline for the rest of the year. Any other questions, Michaelin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. What I'll do, I think, might be helpful is just create a meeting, a calendar invite from the DCR calendar with maybe the dates that are, you know, those pivotal dates where I'll be sending right. information to you, and you'll be, we'll be requesting you to send scores back. So I'll do that so that you have it on the calendar, and all you need to do is just accept the meeting invite, and I'll have some details about action items that need to take place in that calendar hold. And then next month, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, as part of the agenda, I'm going to just share the 2025 meeting dates with you all so that you can review them and approve them so we can get that scheduled ready for the new year.
That would be great. Thank you. Any other questions? And then if there are no other questions or comments, I believe that is the end of our agenda. And so with that, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
This is Signe, so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Y'all sound like y'all want to stay on the phone, which is a good thing that y'all want to stay engaged. I appreciate it. Anyone opposed? Seeing no opposition, I think the meeting is adjourned. I want to thank you all for your time this evening. I think we had some great discussions. I really appreciate